Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 1.
Let brotherly love continue.
It's a small verse, but it says, let brotherly love continue. And we learned the last chapter how important it is to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And here he says, the love of God is not for one day. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says, then all the brothers and sisters of Christ, they are all our brothers. 1 John chapter 5, please read first couple of verses.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
See what he's trying to say? If you are born again child of God, you are born of God. And then other person who is born of God, that he is a child of God. And together we are all brothers and sisters. No matter what language, what color, what nationality we are from, but once we are born by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship, the spiritual relationship, like brothers and sisters. That relationship is much stronger than your physical brothers and sisters. Somebody says, oh no, my brothers and sisters, they don't fight. But I want to see if your mother and father leave some money for somebody and didn't leave money for you, then you see how the love comes. People are fighting here for the physical things. But once we are believing in Jesus Christ and we are born again children of God, the word says, let brotherly love continue. There is no stoppage. We cannot be bitter about one another because Jesus Christ died for us. Last Sunday we learned if you are even angry at your brother, you will be judged. So here we are to love one another. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Now here he's saying, first he says, let brotherly love continue. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And then he says, why? Because he says, thereby some entertain angels unawares. Means, he says, you have to love one another because you do not know one of your brothers or sisters in the Lord will come to your house and you have to entertain them. He said, I don't want to entertain somebody. But he says, in the olden days, people did not know who were visiting them. Like Abraham, angel came to him. And he thought they are ordinary people and he started entertaining them. And then we learn Lot also entertained angels. And there are many other people thinking somebody came to them as ordinary people and they entertained them and they were angels. So sometimes Jesus might come to your door like a torn clothes and raggedy clothes and dirty. And he said, I don't want that person to come into my house. That might be an angel or Christ visiting you. I saw many people when I was in India. There was a man, he had a long hair, he never took a bath, his clothes were torn and everything, and people will not go closer to him, smelling so bad. I came home and I called that man and I said, sir, here is the soap. And I gave him a new cloth and whatever I had, the towels and underclothes and everything, I gave it to him. And there was another minister's. So why are you doing this? God has given you good clothes and you just wasting it away. I said, don't you know the word of God says, you know, your brother, even though he is not my own brother, he is not a born again Christian, but he is suffering and nobody is there to take care of him. So I gave it to him. One day another man came and I was a guest in some one brother's house. He was a postmaster. And here comes the one man with a dirty cloth, Bible in his hand, long nails, long hair, but I didn't like that the minister long hair with long nails and the dirty clothes and a Bible in his hand. So I said, could you come to my place? And I said to the sister, sister, in India, there is no automatic heating water coming and things like that. They have to boil the water. She boiled the water and I gave him a soap, took a shower and everything. And then I took him to the hairdresser, cut his hair, cut his nail, gave him new clothes. And I said, sir, why are you doing this? If you are a man of God, do you think somebody is going to listen to you if you're in this kind of condition? They don't want to even talk to you. So I said, stay with me and we can work together. I'll help you. He said, no, I have to go. So I said, go, but learn one thing. The word of God says our God is a holy God. You cannot say I'm a holy man of God and live dirty. And so I gave him advice and let him go. Point I'm making. God has given us grace to love one another. Doesn't matter how ugly he is and what kind of clothes he was wearing. I tried to do my best and I gave some money also for his traveling. And I said, listen, be a nice brother, good looking, good clothes, good dress, so the people will listen to you. And so the point I'm making, the word of God is saying sometimes the angels will come. You don't know. Angels are not coming with the four wings or things like that. They come like a regular people. And God wants to know how much you love strangers. Now in America, and now even the all over the world, you cannot help strangers. Those days I used to give ride to people. Stop the car and I say, do you need a ride? Even though I had the car in India, I used to stop my car and ask people, do you need a ride? And I used to give ride to people. But now, this situation is different. Sometimes I heard somebody gave somebody ride and brought them home and keep them warm. And next day, they took their refrigerator, they took their car, and thank God they didn't kill them. And they ran away. And so it's difficult to entertain the strangers, but still, God will give you the spiritual insight. Looking at people, you would know who is a dangerous person or who is really in need and things like that. And you have to get the God's counseling and try to help. Sometimes when you help somebody financially, people do not like it. I was traveling in the bus. And one man came to me and he said, you know, I lost my ticket. I lost my wallet. I don't have money. I have to go and meet my children and my family members. Could you give me some money or give me a ticket? So I gave him the money. I gave him only 40 rupees. That time, the American value was for, you know, $1, 10 rupees. So I gave him 40 rupees. And when I came to the one place and I was preaching and I was testifying, one man had a problem and I gave him 40 rupees. They said, you giving God's money to anybody like that? Why did you give it to him? I said, sir, I felt like giving. And so I gave it to him, but I said, God's so kind and loving to me. If I gave him 40 rupees, God might give me 400 rupees someday on the street. And I just said it, and I came to USA, and I was standing in the Germantown Avenue, somewhere in Germantown. And we were going, myself and my wife, we were going to visit some church. I had an appointment. So here comes one man, said, you look like a minister. Are you a minister? I said, yes. He shook my hand, put $30 in my hand, and left. I got $30, I said to my wife, $30 means 300 rupees. $10 are missing. So my wife says, you don't know who the guy is. He might be a robber, he might be a cheater, he might be just finding out you have a wallet or you have money or what. So I took the money, I kept it in my pocket, I said, $10 are missing. We went And now we are, took another bus, and here in that bus, same guy comes to me, said, I made a mistake. So I said, you want your money back? No, no, I want to give you $10 more. He gave me $10 more and he walked away. My wife said, that man looked like a drunk. They looked like a bad person. I said, whoever he was. But he came and gave me $10 for missing. So whatever I said, I gave 40 rupees. I got 400 rupees. So the point I'm making, when you sow, you're going to reap. God is going to supply your needs. So do not be afraid to entertain the strangers or help the strangers. And so God will bless us. Hebrews 13:3.
Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body.
Now here the third example is giving. Remember them that are in bonds. Now who are those people are in the bonds? The prisoners. The people are having problems. Maybe they have financial bondage, or they might be having some kind of problem. Some people may be in the prison. Many people are afraid to talk to prisoners or go to prison. They said, you don't know what kind of people they are. They might be the bad people. I said to people, sometimes there are people walking on the street. They are worse than the prisoners, because some people might be murderers. And somebody went to jail just picking up a candy or something from the store. So there are bad people everywhere. They are not caught yet. So we have to be sympathetic. The people who are in bond, they cannot go out. We have to go to them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God in America, at least, people are going to prison and giving the gospels, and many people are getting saved. And TBN are now doing some satellite in each and every prison so the people can hear the word of God. So here is saying, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. So he's saying, you just feel like you are also a prisoner, or you are also in bond. Think that how you will feel if you are a prisoner. Somebody's in the hospital and sick person, and somebody told you such and such a person in the hospital and please pray for that person. You could pray, but you would not know the situation that person is in. But when you go and see that person, all kinds of tubes and blood and this and that, and then you feel so much sorry about that person. So here he's saying you have to feel like you are in a prison. You have to feel that if somebody doesn't have money and doesn't have food, but if you stay hungry a couple of days, then you know how the hungry person feels, or miss a meal a couple of days. So he's saying you have to feel in your spirit that there are people in bond. And then not only that, he says, you have to suffer. The people who are suffering, the enemy is giving them hard time. So you have to feel in your body the pain. Then you know how to help somebody. People, I don't know, in America, many people do not know what hunger is and what the nakedness is. We are blessed. According to the world standard, America's poorest poor is rich person. Why? Because every person has the refrigerator, has the heating and cooling system. And so many people are blessed. But in foreign countries, if you see, there are so much problem people have. Sometimes when you see the hurt and sickness and disease and comes on TV and you see so many flies comes on the children's face, myself, I cannot even see. I close my eyes and I pray. But I'm just saying, some people might be turning their face. I don't want to see. Turn off the TV. We don't want to even hear it. But he says you have to feel their pain. Feel the bound. Feel the pain of those people. Then you know how to help them and how to pray for them. So The word of God is saying we have to learn to compassionate to each and every person, brother, sister, people in bond, or people in suffering around the world. And that's what you have to do. And somebody says, I don't know how to do it. Just start praying and God will tell you what to do about it. Some people, you know, just thinking that people are poor, so they give their tithes and offering to the poor. Bible doesn't teach you to give your tithe and offerings to poor. Bible states, give your tithe and offering to the storehouse. And then church has the responsibility to help others. He says, poor will be with you always. So he said, help the household of faith first, the godly people first. If I start giving all the tithe, all the money comes to our house, our hand, and start giving in the center city, I would be finishing that money in one day. And there'll still be poor people. So we won't be able to do what we want to do. The point I'm making, he started with a let brotherly love continue. So he's talking about first the brother. Now if somebody is preaching the gospel and went to prison because of preaching the gospel, I would be much more worried about that person and how to bring him out or how to comfort him or his family. That's what we want to do. There are so many Christians preaching the gospel and they are in the prison and some of them are killed and their family are suffering. So those are the people should be blessed and support first and then others, because you cannot keep your family hungry and going to feed a neighbor's children. So that's what the word of God is teaching us. Okay, let's go to the verse 4. Hebrews 13:4.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Now, the marriage is honorable in all. What does that mean? He says God approves the marriage, but he hates the people who are defiling the bed. If the married couple live together like a husband and wife, that is not sin. But if you bring some other lady, a girlfriend, and stay with her like a husband and wife, you are defiling the bed. That's what the word of God is saying. But nobody is preaching this. And many people in America and around the world now, they are living together 10, 20, 30, 40, and never gets married. And they might die without marriage. And so the word of God is saying, marriage is honorable. God wants everyone who wants to get married. If somebody doesn't want to get married, you cannot force that person. If he's not married, and if he's serving the Lord and living for God, that's better. But if somebody is not serving the Lord, and that person wants to be staying single because he cannot find the wife or he cannot find the husband, and living a sinful life, that is not godly. So he's saying, if somebody is doing fornication or adultery, God will judge those people. Now somebody says, oh, we are living together for 20 years and eyes of people, we are all married. And many people do not get married. I saw one couple came to my church. They are like 7, 8 years old children. And I did not even ask them about marriage. Oh, we are not even married. I said, thank God that you came to this church. I'm going to pray for you and you get married. And they got married. There is another person came. His daughter was 14 years old. And they were living together 15 years. They thought they are believers. They go into different churches. Nobody asked them anything. They came to me and they said, we are not married. I said, sir, go get married. They said, but we are like a common law. We are already married. I said, according to common law, you might be married, but according to the word of God, he says, marriage is honorable and the bed should be undefiled. So the man got married. The point I'm making, I do not want anyone living together and not married. Now somebody comes and they're living together and they said, could you perform the marriage? Then I said to them, first of all, you have to be separated at least 6 months. And both of you coming together, and then I'll perform the marriage. But there was some person, he deceived me. I didn't know that. They were not married for many years. They had 14, 15 years children. And they just said, Pastor Peter, we just wanted to make our marriage a little bit stronger. I want to pretend marriage. And so, could you do it? I said, okay. They didn't say they never were married. And when I performed the marriage, and then they said, we need a certificate. I said, you know, when you're pretending marriage, you don't need a certificate. And so when I saw their papers, they were never married. So it was too late to tell them I cannot do it because I already performed the marriage, and then they showed me the government paper, and so I signed it. The point I'm making, thank God at least they got married. If they would have told me earlier, I would have said, even though you're married this many years, I want you to be separate until you get married. Otherwise, go to the court and get married and come back. Court is not going to tell you to be separate. You cannot defiling your bed and living in sin and tell pastor to perform the marriage. You have to live clean and holy life. So that's what the Word of God is saying. Otherwise, the Word of God is saying God will judge them. Okay, let's go to the Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Now, here he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. When you say conversation, he's saying your behavior. You're living in this world, how you should be living. You should not be living in this world thinking what other people have, I want it. If he has a beautiful car, I should have that car. If somebody has a beautiful wife, I should get his wife. If somebody has a beautiful house, I want his house. Not only similar house, but people say, I want exactly that's the house. I'm going to kill that person, get his property. And something like that. So the covetousness is bad. And then the Word of God is saying, God has given us everything. If you trust in God, God is the source of our supply. And so the Word of God is saying, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If we know our God is alive, if you know our God is living, then you don't have to worry. Just like if you have a small children, and they don't worry about father has a job or father doesn't have a job. Father and mother brings them clothes, bring them food, cook everything. They never worried father lost a job or father doesn't have a job. Because as long as mother and father are alive, we will be fine. The same way the Word of God is saying, I am alive. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. When Jesus Christ was going to heaven, their heart was troubling. What Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. So people believe that if the person who has the money, who is supporting us, if that person is alive, we will have no problem. So the Jesus Christ said to the disciples while he was going, he says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the world or end of the age. So the Word of God is saying our eyes should not be on money, should not be in our job. Your job, your money, your house, your everything what you have, you're looking at, there is no guarantee that will be there tomorrow. You saw this, some crazy people are burning the houses, 12 houses and 4 houses. Every day I hear somebody is doing something wrong. So there is no guarantee what you have today will be there tomorrow. But once we know our God is alive and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then we have guarantee. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and start reading from verse 6 to 12. Here he's saying we should not be thinking about money and the worldly things too much.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
See, here he's saying, we did not bring anything in this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. What does that mean? When we were born, we came with an empty hand and a naked. When we die, we go naked, but sometimes they cover you with the cloth, but they cannot put you something in your hand. Sometimes people, you know, when they die, they say, oh, he liked the diamond watch, so I'll keep it there. They keep it, the watch there, and the other people take it. Or they do something to please them, best cloth or best diamonds or best jewelry, put it in their coffin, and a couple of years later, just tell that man, could you open that coffin? I want to check, I want to put something. They will not allow you to go there. And if you go there, you will not find anything. So here the word of God is saying, we did not bring anything, we cannot take anything out of this world. Okay, let's read further.
And having food and raiment, let us be there with content.
See, whatever the God has given us food, whatever the cloth we have, we should be happy. Now you learning, there are people in the world, they cannot be satisfied what they have. If they have one dress and they go for shopping, they need another dress. Or the fashion changes, they want another dress. I was working with one lady, and I worked with her almost 2 years. Within 2 years, I did not see her same dress again. So I was curious. I said, what happened? Every day you have a new dress, and 2 years you do not have the same dress again. She said, I do not wear the same dress again. Her father was a bank manager. And so point I'm making, the people are there, they do not want to use the same dress again. And so they have millions of clothes. So the word of God says, whatever you have, God has given to you, be happy. And God will supply. I'm not saying you should have one shirt, one pant, but whatever God has given to you, be happy. I'm not looking for anything. I get my suit, I get my clothes, I get my everything. My wife, my daughter, or somebody will bring it. I do not look and go for hunting for my clothes. Okay, but here he's saying, whatever you have, be content. I'm not looking for another suit. Thank God I have enough suits. Okay, let's go further. I want to read up to 12.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
The love of money is root of all evil. Now somebody says, now some people do not know. They said, that means all Christians should be poor. No, the word of God is not saying like that. The word of God is saying love of money is root of all evil. That means you don't go after money. You go after God. And Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. God wants you to be rich, not poor. He says he became poor with his poverty, you can be rich. But our richness should be for the glory of God, not be selfish. So we should not be going after money. We go after God, and God supplies our need. People are going after money and money running away from them. So we don't go after money, go after God. Some people say, I don't get a job. I guarantee you, if you start thinking, I am going to give it to the Lord, whatever I have, and if God gives me job, I'm going to give my 10%, you will get a job. Yesterday, somebody called me from Ohio. He called me and he said, Pastor Peter, I went for an interview and the man did not give me job. He gave job to somebody else. I said, sir, you need a job in that place? He said, yes. I said, let's pray. I said, Lord, give him a job, because it's a walking distance from his house. So I prayed for him. Yesterday he calls me, he say, Pastor Peter, he called me early in the morning. Pastor Peter, I got a free interview in that place. And this February 3rd, I might go and get a job. I said, sir, you told me that they are not giving you a job and they give job to somebody else. Now, if you want that job, and if you want that job continuously, then start learning to giving to God. Then your job will be secure. And I prayed for him, and he was so happy. Few minutes later, he called me again. So I picked up the phone. He says, Pastor Peter, I send you a check. I just mailed it to you. Even though I didn't get a job, he is sowing the seed. The point I'm making, God only inspires people to give it to God. Once you have a job, be faithful. You will never lose a job. And if you lose a job, you will get a best job. That's what you have to believe. So here the word of God is saying, do not go after money. If you go after money, you will have many sorrows. And many people have millionaires, they kill themselves because there is no peace for them. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 6.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Now here again he's saying, so that we should say boldly, the Lord is my helper, what man can do unto me? Now people are afraid. They are afraid of their boss. They are afraid of their enemy. They are afraid of people. Why we should be afraid? Because if we have a God, if God is with me, who can be against me? He says, if you should be saying, the God is my helper, what man can do unto me? Man has no power to do any harm to us. He can be boss. He can be a big person. Doesn't matter who he is. Sometimes the people are working and they said, you know, now people are laying off here and there. In the hospital, you never heard people are losing jobs in the hospital. So the word of God is saying, we should not be afraid of any bosses. We should not be afraid of any enemies. We should be trusting in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, then you don't have to worry. Because God is the one who is watching over us. One day one man came and he said to me, Pastor Peter, one man is working with me and I said something to my boss. He is cheating in the job. So that man came to know and he is my immediate boss. He said, I'm going to come to your house and kill you. And I'm going to bring my gun. So he said, I'm so afraid. I gave him this scripture. I said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. And then I gave him another scripture, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 7. He says, enemy will come one way, but they will run seven ways. So once you are belong to God, no one has power to destroy you. Let's read the Psalm 118, verse 6. We have to believe and trust in God.
The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
See, the Lord is in my side. When God is with you, we don't have to be afraid of anyone. We have to trust in God and keep our faith in God. No man has power to destroy us. Financially, physically, socially, emotionally, anyway. If you're trusting in man, you will fail. We should not be trusting any man. We should trust in God. Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
But here he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, who are those people? The pastors, the ministers, the evangelists. And so he says, just remember them. Remembering means what? You should pray for them. You should supply their needs. you should look after them because they are giving you the word of God. And so many people, I don't know in here, but in India, ministers are so much highly respected in India. And I worked in India 10 years. I go to anybody's house just for prayer. They will give you water. They will force you to eat something. And while you're living, they will put some money in your hand. They will never let you go empty-handed when you go to their houses. And so, I would never go to anybody's house the paycheck day. So, God supplied my need. I lived there and many people gave me money many times. I never had any salary in my life, but God supplies my need. And so, what I was trying to say, I had an invitation to go and preach in one place, 3,000 miles away from my church. And so I went to the railway station, and somebody told me, you need this much money. And so $10 were missing, so I prayed that night, Lord, without $10, I cannot go and get my ticket, so please give me that $10. Now it's a night time, 9 o'clock. Somebody came and knocked at the door and said, Pastor Peter, God told me to give you $10. So I was excited. God gave me money. I'm going to go. And I went there, the ticket counter, and the man said to me, this is not enough. You need almost 2 times of what you have. And he said some bad words. And so I came back and I tried to unpack my bag and I said, Lord, I thought only $10 missing and I didn't know how much money was. And I went there, I was so excited that $10 that man gave. And when I went to the railway station, the ticket is triple. God says, don't empty the bag, go back to the railway station. And so I said, Lord, I just came from there. But he said, go back. So I packed the bag, went to railway station. The train was coming in the evening. And all my church members knew that I'm going 3,000 miles journey. So they came to meet me, shake hands. When I was there, the ticket was just like maybe $500 or so. And I had very less money. But when I was sitting there, I got more than $3,000. Point I'm making, when I came to the railway station, I had money for 2 people traveling, going back and forth, and still I would have money. And when I went there, everybody started giving me money. So when I came back, I had more than enough. Last time when I went to Russia, I had enough money to go to Russia, and I started giving money to people, start buying books and everything, and I almost ran out the money. But God started using me to praying for American people who are with me, 120 people went there, and they start coming and shaking hands with me and giving money. I had more money when I left America to go to Russia. I bought more money back from Russia to America. What I'm trying to say, our God supplies our needs. We have to just trust in the Lord and help the work of God. Once you are trusting in the Lord, He will supply your needs. In my life, I even started the ministry from that day until today. If I needed a penny, I got a penny. One day I went and bought the oil, and the man says, such and such amount and 1 penny extra. So I said, take the penny's oil back. I don't have a penny. He said, no, I cannot take 1 penny's oil back. So I just turned around and there was a penny. I took the penny and gave it to him. The point I'm making, from penny to thousands, God gave it to me. So our God is a good God. You have to trust in God and pray for the ministers. Here he's saying, remember the people who help you to read the word or study the word or give the Bible study. When I was a believer like you, I loved my pastors. I gave them tithes. If they come to my house, I go pay their bus fare, take them to the railway station. Sometime I travel with them and let them reach to their destiny, and then I come back. When I was to talk to my pastor, I go to his office and I would talk to him on my knees. And so God blessed me. I gave respect to my pastors and my higher authorities. That's why God blessed me. And I helped all my workers and believers and things like that. So the word of God is saying, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Next week, we are going to start book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7, one more time. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. We give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you for your children. They are loving, they are kind. Bless each and every one. Supply each and every one's need. And give us grace to glorify your name. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.